March 10th, it's a Saturday, and I have to start this podcast off by admitting that I am neither hungry nor thirsty at all.
That Allagash is doing you, isn't it?
It's that cheat day status, man. It started hot and heavy. Honestly, it started off like any other day with an egg breakfast and a cup of coffee.
Yep.
But then it just
deteriorated from there. Just downhill.
I'd call it a progression. I mean, you could look at it as downhill, but in my eyes, that's a progression.
Either way.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah, it's a fun day. You gotta have fun once in a while, right?
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Being strict is a good thing, but every once in a while, you gotta let loose and do your thing.
Strict enough so you can cut loose once in a while?
Right.
Yeah.
If you're cutting loose every day, then that's just normal.
And you're not really cutting loose, you're just living nuts.
Right. Being wild.
I am loose. There is no leash. And there's nothing wrong with having a leash as long as you put it on yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Handcuffs, though, you need a partner for that.
No, you don't.
It's a safety thing. You want to be able to get back out. Trust me.
Pineapples. Yeah, we were still pretty productive, though.
Yeah.
Still got some stuff done.
Got the hike taken care of. That was nice.
Yeah, went for a good hike, saw a nice view. Tired out the dog a little bit. A
little bit. She seems to have recuperated over the last couple hours.
That happens when you sleep for 4 hours.
Yeah.
And you're a puppy.
I could have used 4 hours of sleep, but I'll get those tonight.
All four of them?
At least, hopefully.
You know, it's funny, when I drink, I usually sleep much less.
Yeah, you got all that energy from the beer, right?
Yeah, I just wake up.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, good to go.
Yep.
6 hours, my eyes open, I'm like, what's up?
That tends to be, for me, it's either I sleep less or I need to sleep a lot.
Yeah.
It's
if
one
you're
or the
already
other.
Behind on sleep.
Or drank too much.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing. You mentioned when you drink, you like to have a purpose for getting up in the morning.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that when I drink, it's not necessarily that I need to have a purpose to get up in the morning, but if I just get up early. Like, you know how you wake up throughout the night? You know, once in a while you just wake up and then you go back to sleep?
Not usually.
Oh, is that just a me thing?
It's not a me thing.
Well, that happens to me, and if I'm drinking, I'll just wake up. Like, one of the, you know, the first couple times I wake up, if it's not the middle of the night anymore, I'll just get up.
Mm.
And then I'm good, because I'll be hungover for a couple hours if I drank enough.
Right.
But once you get that first meal in you, it starts to peter out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little easier.
Yeah, I kind of work on momentum, so I consider any sleep, if I've been drinking enough, any sleep I get is a drunk nap. And then when I wake up, it's like, okay, same thing, still going, finish a project or start the next thing. I don't know. It always worked. I don't tend to get hangovers, but then again, I haven't been drinking much lately, so we'll have to see about tomorrow.
I get hangovers real easy. I would imagine that I'll have at least somewhat of one tonight, or well, in the morning.
Yeah.
But that's just how it works. It's okay. Once in a while, it's okay to do that.
Yep. Yep. I wonder if that's going to get picked up on the mic. It's the dog making her bed right now.
Yeah, true. Probably will a little bit, especially when we turn it up.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to work on this setup. I definitely want to do two mics. And that's really all we need is one more mic stand and cord, and we're good to go.
Yep. Yep. I've been looking online for one used. I found someone was selling two for real cheap, but I looked them up, and they were like Walmart brand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we want something decent, and somebody explained it to me, but I've since forgotten. There's different types of microphones, and we want the one that kind of just picks up a small spatial area. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we have here. It's a condenser.
That's probably why we have to turn it up so much.
So I think if I were to talk directly into it, it gets, maybe not. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yep.
We'll get more professional.
As long as we keep producing content, we'll have cause to improve.
Right. We just gotta do it until it gets normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
it's the trap of getting caught and talking to the microphone versus talking to you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a little awkward just knowing that you're recording something.
Yeah.
It makes it a little weird.
Everything I say will last forever.
Right, yeah, even though it definitely doesn't. No. We have the ability
to delete.
Yes. Yep. How about that chick at the mall, though? She was funny.
Which one?
The one who was hitting on me.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
She was hitting on me harder that the first time I showed up. To be fair, I was also much more tipsy than I was, so I was definitely rocking it.
The last time?
Yes.
So tonight was the second time at the Sunglasses Hut.
Yes.
Yeah, so the first time you had a pretty good buzz going.
Oh yeah, I was rocking it.
And you were just rolling with it?
Yeah, I was rocking out. I brought a little thing of, it wasn't bourbon. It was like a little bottle, like a one pint.
Yeah.
And I brought that in the truck. So I schwigged on that, and then I went into the Carolina Ale House.
Oh yeah.
And I had a couple beers there, and then
was this the tall boy incident?
Yes.
So you're combining some whiskey with an extra tall beer.
Oh yeah. And then when I left the ale house, I got back in the car to have a little snack because I got hungry.
Hey, Mila. Yes, sorry.
And after I ate, I was like, well, let me have a little nip.
Right.
So I gave it another little shot, and I stumbled into the mall and walked around for a little while. It was fun. It was just a dandy old time, but yeah, that chick was cool. She's got her own issues to deal with, and there's a reason why she's hitting on customers in her own shop, you know.
Oh, I've been there, though. I mean, come on. I definitely got some phone numbers working at the Planet Fitness. There's no doubt about that.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was actually known for that at that point. Because I had this little experiment going. Mila. No. I had this little experiment going. I had some flow, some mojo. Like, I'd go in there and women go into the Planet Fitness to feel good about themselves.
Right.
So they're already in that mindset like, yeah, I'm looking good today.
Yeah.
Which means I'm there like, yes, you are. Right? Without ever saying it. It's all about eye contact. And, yeah, there was a couple times where I'd just walk up to a girl and be like, can I get your number? And I got her number.
That's awesome.
Yeah, never called one of them. It's way too easy. You got to make it a little bit of a challenge for them. Or else I'm like, how many other guys are getting this number?
Yeah, I had that trouble on Tinder one time. I was on there, and I didn't meet her, but we matched, and I started talking to her, and things were going well. So I said, hey, let's go out on a date. And she was like, cool, you want to see a movie? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And so me being smooth like I was, I said, hey, do you want to take the motorcycle or the car? Because I had a fun car at the time and a nice, cool crotch rocket. And she goes, well, I've never been on a motorcycle. So I'm like, ooh, we in there now.
Yeah, oh yeah, that always works.
So I showed up there and I picked her up and we went to the movies, and come to find out, she didn't have her ID on her, so we couldn't go in to see the movie that she wanted to see.
You got carded at the movies?
Yeah, that's what I said.
How old was this girl, bro?
She was 18, but she was, she looked really young.
So she told you she was 18, but you never saw her ID?
She showed me her ID.
Yeah?
Yeah, she was like, no, I'm 18, I swear.
Okay.
Which is, let's get into it now.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
She showed me her ID.
She's been through this.
Right. She also conveniently forgot her ID at the theater that she knows cards.
Oh.
Okay. So yeah, I didn't know any of this at the time. I started putting it together while I was with her.
Yeah.
Then, we were at her house, we went back to her house, and we were watching a movie at her place, and she put pajamas on.
Oh boy.
And I was like, oh, we're getting in there now. You know, yep. I was all about it. And then she started texting mad dudes.
While she's in her PJs.
All of a sudden, yes.
Right next to you.
In her PJs, I got my arm around her. She starts texting dudes. And I was like, wow, how many of these?
You didn't move fast enough.
Right.
She's like, this is taking too long. I need some of that right now.
Right? I mean, it's not like I wasn't going fast enough on the bike, but then you get home and I guess I'm just supposed to lock it down.
Well, that's the trouble right now, is there's some girls who want that, but if you end up with the girl who's throwing those signals out there but doesn't want it, you're in a load of trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
A load of trouble. So you're better off just saying, hey, it was nice meeting you. I'm going to go ride really fast home now.
Yeah.
Faster, because there's nothing weighing me down on the back.
Right. Yeah, but this chick was nuts in the middle of it, right? So she's texting these dudes, and I'm like, I'm totally turned off. I'm like, all right, we're done here, you know. I'm just waiting for the movie to end so I can ski out of there. And because we had a party that night at our house.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I knew I was coming back to that.
Right.
And she, all of a sudden, she looks up from her phone. She goes, I'm not a slut.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh. You are. You are. Like, that's just... If you have to say that, then you already fucked up.
If you're thinking it, there's a reason you're thinking
right.
it.
Right.
If you feel like you need to say it, there's a reason.
Yeah. And I just... I left. And then... She called me a couple of times, but I never. That was done. That was it on that one.
Yeah.
But I rode home like a demon. I was all amped up. I thought I was getting laid, and
yeah.
I didn't get laid. So, whew, man, that ride home was fun.
Yeah, dude, that's some energy right
yeah.
there, man.
Plus, I didn't know where I was, so I had to GPS it, and I was out running the GPS.
Oh, that.
Yeah,
because crazy.
You know, normally a GPS says, you know, in a mile, turn right.
Yeah.
And my GPS would say, in a mile, turn right here.
Two miles a minute, baby.
Yeah,
2 miles
yeah.
a minute.
We were cranking that.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember I met a girl who, I was living in Northfield. She was in Cheshire, so it was like 45 minutes by car. But I had my 600, the first one I ever got.
Oh, yeah.
I'm riding there thinking, you know, tonight's the night. Let's
yep.
make this happen. I don't have a lot of time before work. So I'm cranking down the highway. I go to slam gears. My shifter falls off.
Oh.
I'm not kidding you. I got stuck in third gear. Luckily, it was third gear because I could still launch.
Yeah.
You know, just ride the shit out
yep.
of that clutch.
Yeah.
It's a beater anyway. But I'm going down the highway at like 80 miles an hour because I'm not going to slow down for anything. Leaning off to the right, holding the throttle with my left hand, trying to bang the shifter back in place while I'm moving with my right hand. It was... sketchy.
Yeah.
Sketchy, but you got that thought like, something's about to happen. I need to get where I'm going. Nothing's going to stop me. Not even this stupid shifter.
Yep. I remember I had my CBR at the time, CBR 1000RR, and I did a little bit of work to it, so I wanted to take it out for a test ride, and I took it out, no helmet, just the sunglasses, you know, nice Oakley sunglasses, brand new. And I get out there and I'm riding it, and the thing feels great. I messed with the suspension. The guy who I bought it off had it lowered, which just, it wasn't right. So I put the stock ride height back into it, and I'm riding it, and I'm like, oh, this feels awesome. And I get on it a little bit, but then I see the highway, the on-ramp for the highway, and I'm like, oh, this is happening right now.
Yep.
And I'm... the thought kind of occurs to me, like, oh, you're not wearing a helmet. And then I'm like, yeah, whop, whop, whop. I go through the gears, and I'm going like a buck 20 on the highway.
Allegedly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, allegedly, I was going the speed limit plus the speed limit. And I go to duck down because the wind gets brutal, and my cheeks were flapping, you know. And when I duck down under the windscreen, my Oakleys actually pulled themselves off my face and fell onto the gas tank of the motorcycle. Thankfully, they fell onto the gas tank. But I'm going 120 on the highway right now, passing traffic, and my main concern was getting those Oakleys back on my face.
Yeah, before they hit the ground.
Right, right.
Yeah,
I couldn't lose them.
No.
Yeah, those are $200 Oakleys.
Yeah.
Can't lose those. So I'm going around the corner, passing traffic at a buck 20. Can't slow down either.
No, you're already going that speed.
Oh, yeah, I was already speeding, so you can't slow down. So I did. I got him back on my face, and I kept going, and I just didn't try to duck down again.
Yeah.
There's some weird wind currents where that windshield...
Yeah, it makes an eddy, and it
yeah.
kind of pulls things forward.
Yep. It definitely does.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, man. That was the highway, too. That was Route 8, again, allegedly.
Yeah.
Up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Somewhere between Torrington and Winston.
Allegedly, it's a nice stretch of road there.
Yeah. I remember I was, again, on a 600. This was the... so not the Cal, but the next one, the Honda 600, going to school for college with my backpack on.
Yeah, yeah.
I had that thing tapped. It was not going any faster. I was tucking my elbows in to get 2 more miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, feeling it, dude. Cop on my left. Wow. Just pass him. Two thoughts go through my head. You don't have a lot of time to think when you're going that fast because you're basically just watching.
Right.
But it was either, okay, I slow down because I'm panicking, or I keep moving because he's not catching me.
Yeah, keep it going.
Never saw nothing. Never talked to me about it again. I did change the color of my plastics because I had the two sets.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, we're going back to those other plastics now.
For a little while, yeah. Yep. Rocked that color for a while. Yep. I remember I had just gotten some plastics on my bike. When I bought the CBR, it didn't have any plastics on it. It was kind of naked.
Oh, yeah.
It had some, but some of them were cracked and some of them were just gone.
It had been stunted.
Yeah, a little bit.
No cage.
So I bought a set of plastics for it, and I bought the cheapo set because I was broke. You know, I just bought a motorcycle. Can't be dropping too much coin on it. I figured the cheapo set would be fine, eBay, you know. And I get on the highway, and I wanted to try them out, so I tried to top the bike out, you know. And
clearly.
I definitely did top the bike out at 185 miles an hour. And then I heard something go kaboom. And if you hear something go boom at 180, something went wrong. Because there's so much wind noise, you can't even hear the engine anymore.
Yeah.
And I thought I broke the engine, but I was still going very fast. I was not slowing down. So I let off the throttle, and I looked around, and I went, what the hell was that? Checking my bike out, and I couldn't find out what was wrong. So I went, I took the next exit, and I looked down, and my plastics had broken off.
Wow.
But they were still hanging on.
Okay. Yeah.
And we were very close to getting that plastic under the rear tire, which would have been a problem at 180.
Yeah.
That probably would have been death.
It could have been something, yep.
Yeah. Because if you skirt at 180, if you lay the bike down 180 miles an hour on the highway,
you're doing some rolling.
Because I didn't have anything. I was wearing a t-shirt.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was wearing just a t-shirt. I mean, I had the helmet on at that point. But that was it, man. And I just left the plastics off from that point on. No point for those.
We don't need that.
Then they can't break off again.
That's more shit to get me in trouble.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, dude, the bike's crazy, too, because the combination of things, I mean, the way the engine feels, the ease of acceleration, and then I think that higher perspective is a big deal, too.
Sitting up a little higher.
You don't think about it if you don't ride a motorcycle, because it's so much smaller than a car. You think, that's a little machine. Mm. But when you're on it, you can see right over most of the traffic.
Yep.
So, routinely, I would be cruising down the highway just in my A to B mode, not trying to go fast. I mean, one hand on the throttle, one hand on the fuel tank, trying to get comfortable, because they are not comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'd look down, I'd be going 80, 90, even hitting triple digits without even realizing it. Just cruising through traffic.
Yep.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a lot of respect for people who ride motorcycles, haven't done enough of it myself, but the people I really respect are the people who can manage to stay the speed limit.
Yeah.
Because that is a challenge.
I mean, it's one thing on Harleys. If you're on a cruiser, the speed limit feels about right. It's just, hey, do not chew on my wall. That's not okay. But it's one thing on a cruiser because, you know, when you're cruising, it's just a relaxed ride, and that's what you're going for. But when you're on that sport bike, it's constantly got you in that position to go fast.
Yep.
And it's hard not to, man. I've been in the same place commuting, you know, to and from the gym or to and from work. And I'll look down and I'm just like, oh, I'm going 100 right now.
Yep.
You don't even notice it. You just, you know, maybe you're feeling a little late, feeling like, oh, I got a lot of stuff to do right now. And you're trying to get somewhere, but you're not trying to speed. And you just realize you're going double the speed limit for no good reason.
Yep.
It'll just sneak up on you like that.
And it makes you ask questions, too. Like, you know, why is the speed limit 35 here?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
For trucks.
And then you get in a truck.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. I'm not going any faster than that.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, you feel like you're at the limit when you're doing the speed limit in a truck, man.
Which brings me to a point I've had for a while. I do think there should be separate speed limits.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to, if you have certain type of car or vehicle, whatever it is, and certain qualifications that you can prove and exhibit in a tested scenario, you should be able to, you know, exceed the speed limit by certain percentages.
Yep, and go the other way with it. Who's to say that a school bus should be able to go the speed limit around corners, around normal corners of a road?
Right.
You know, a lot of times they can't, and they're just expected to know the road and know the corners, and that's dangerous in itself too. You know, there should be separate speed limits for different weights of vehicle, you know.
Yeah.
That would be a very good basic way to do it. How much does this vehicle weigh? This is how fast it can go on this road.
Yeah.
And just, it would be a good ballpark estimate for vehicles. I'm sure they would appreciate it too, you know?
Well, the reason I speak of having...
Mila, no.
Having qualification courses is because now you're introducing a new factor, which is speed differential. So if you're in a Mustang going 60 around a curvy road and there's a truck going 30 in front of you, you got some liability issues there as the state. But what you do is you test people, and as a part of the test, you make sure it's highly instilled in them that if you are going faster, you're responsible for any rear-end collision.
Right.
And that's part of the test where you show that you can react to that and knowing your own limits. You know, if I'm impaired from sleep or whatever might be impairing, I'm not going to behave this way. I'll stick to the lower speed limit.
Yeah.
But I think there should be some wiggle room. I think that we kind of box people in. And, you know, driving should be fun, and it should be safe, and it should be something that's scaled, because not everybody's the same. Not every car is the same. Yep.
Yeah, sports cars definitely go around corners a lot better than trucks. Everybody understands that, but nobody wants to set limits.
The people making the rules don't understand that. The only thing the people making the rules understand is the rules themselves. And that doesn't work, because you can't make rules about something only knowing how to make rules. You need to know the something before you start deciding how it works. It's the gun control issue. Can you tell me what an automatic weapon is?
Well, they look scary.
Yeah.
that's the worst thing, you know. I mean, people outlaw guns now based on the looks. If you look at some of the newest legislation, it's, you know, the assault rifle ban is terrifying for people who understand guns, because you can still buy a Woodstock semi-automatic rifle that has 30 round magazines shooting 5.56, which is the exact same as an AR style rifle, but because that thing is black and has a rail to mount your sights on, it scares people.
Yep.
People don't want to see it, and that's absolutely silly, because the the Armalite rifle is cheaper and easier to produce than a lot of other rifles, and that's why it's so popular. It's not popular because it's a death machine. It's the most compact. It's the Honda Civic of guns.
It's that, and it's what the military's using to a pretty, you know, it's basically what they're using, and people want to imitate that. They want to be a part of that. That's the American culture, you know. And we were talking about this earlier today. Something I feel we gloss over during these gun control debates. Let's say China decides they're going to invade America, how far do they make it? Because we've got one of the largest standing armies in the world.
Yeah.
But we also have a highly weaponized citizenship.
Yeah.
You're not making it past my house until I'm dead.
Right. If another country decides to invade us, our National Guard isn't even going to show up before the damn Hicks come out of their yard with the AR rifles shooting at them.
Right.
You know? I mean, they got nothing on us.
And on the assault rifle thing, you know, we can ban assault rifles, but grab me an M14 from the 1960s with a Woodstock, and it's shooting, you know, 300, it's 7.62.
Is it?
I'm getting mixed up in my head, but yeah, it's shooting a 7.62 projectile. That's doing a lot more damage and making a lot louder noise than your AR is making, and it's cheaper.
Yep.
And it's not illegal.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like an assault rifle, but it comes in a carbine length, and I don't see any reason you couldn't saw that stock down and put an internal hinge in there, a little clip. Nobody's ever going to know until you swing that thing sideways, and now it's what, 16 plus 10, so you're talking about a 24, 26 inch rifle shooting 7.62 rounds.
Or how about a shotgun? I mean, shotguns will do way more damage than an AR rifle will do, and nobody's worried about those because they see the purpose for them.
Right.
But they don't see the damage that they'll do, you know?
Yeah, well, we try to keep that hidden. You don't want to see those pictures.
Shotguns are devastating.
Yeah.
They're just less used.
Yep.
That's all.
Well, they're silly, too, because we've seen the video on YouTube there. Let's plug the guy because he does a good job. ASP, self-protection. What's that guy's name?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
Yeah,
the ASP.
I can't think of it right
now.
Wow,
it's killing me. ASP, anyway, the guy's got a great YouTube channel. He does, like, five-minute clips with security footage, and he breaks down confrontations, whether they're physical violence or a gunfight or a knife fight. He breaks it down and kind of gives people an idea of what's going on there.
Active self-protection.
Active self-protection. Great channel, lots of videos. He's got a whole bunch of stuff, and it's worth checking out. But there's one video of a school shooting where, I think it's a college, but a kid walks in with a shotgun, and he shoots a girl right in the chest with birdshot.
From maybe 5-6 feet.
It's ridiculous. I mean, she got hit with the muzzle flash.
Yeah.
And she turned around and walked away. She didn't even run. Yeah. She didn't fall or stumble. Birdshot does nothing.
Yeah, she survived it, like, no problem.
Flesh wounds. I mean, yep. It's not pretty. I'm not saying it was, but of all things that could happen, she got lucky.
Yeah, if that had been buckshot or a slug, she would have dropped.
Yeah, it would have been over. It was square to the chest.
Yeah, she definitely took all of that round.
Yeah,
into the...
The wad probably hurt more than the shot did.
Yeah, it's impressive how ineffective birdshot is against something with a actual amount of flesh on it.
Like thick skin.
Birds have extremely thin skin, and that's why birdshot will pierce them. But when it comes to a human being or a large animal, birdshot won't do what you need it to do.
So that's your tip for the day. If you got a shotgun for self-protection, don't buy the cheap birdshot. Yeah. It's not about price. It's about effectivity. You get some double-aught, triple-aught buck. Triple-aught's like a 36-gauge or a, 36-caliber projectile. It's about 7 to 9 of those, depending on the load. 7 to 9 36 caliber projectiles flying at about 1200 to 1600 feet per second.
Yeah.
That's pretty serious.
That's what you want right there.
And you can group those strong enough to make a shot at 50 yards.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep, that's another thing that a lot of people don't think about shotguns. You know, they all say that the spread is incredible. You know, you can't miss with a shotgun, but it'll spread about 1 inch per yard. So if you're shooting a shotgun for self-defense, just say someone is 2 yards away, you're not talking about a 2-foot group, you're talking about a 2-inch group. You still need to aim that. The whole point of the shotgun is that the multiple shots are devastating to the body that it hits. It's not that you don't need to aim it.
Right.
And a lot of people forget that. And
yeah.
The shotguns are kind of a drawback because most of the time you can buy semi-automatic shotguns, but most of the time they're pump action, and you got to actually place that shot well. The thing is, if that shot lands, it's usually about an ounce of projectiles flying downrange, and that's what does the damage.
It's stopping power.
Yeah.
You know, the spread is a kind of a myth. It's the only thing you're getting a really good spread with is birdshot, and it's not doing anything.
It's not effective.
So when you're talking buckshot, yeah, it's all about stopping power, or slugs.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, from close range, a slug is more or less just as accurate as shot, but the double-aught buck just will spread out a little more and hit a couple more areas in the body when it lands. That's why you use it.
When you're talking slug, I mean, you could get a gut shot, and I assume a person would live, but when you're talking buckshot, you're probably hitting some liver if you hit gut at all.
And it's just more mean in general. You're gonna do more damage to the perpetrator, that's what you want to do. If someone's breaking into your house and you feel you need to put them down, you want to do the most damage possible, and for that you want to spread that damage out across their body a little bit.
I got some questions about that too, because we see, like Iraq veteran 8888 and Demo Ranch, they do tests on steel plates, armor plates, and the buckshot, the slugs, shotguns don't pierce armor. Unless you've got specially made rounds, they might.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they're not moving fast enough and they're covering too much surface area. However, that's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So nobody's going to stand in front of a shotgun, even with an armor plate on, to get shot. But I'm wondering if you might actually knock them down, or to what extent they'll at least have the breath knocked out of them. Getting hit with an armor plate,
yep.
You know, and it's a question I want answered.
It's definitely a solid blow, because even think about just the recoil of a 12-gauge into your shoulder.
Mm.
If you shoot a 12-gauge enough, even bracing yourself for the impact of the recoil, where with a buttstock that's meant to absorb the recoil, you'll still get a bruised shoulder from it.
Yeah.
If you shoot a few times.
I don't know, maybe you. My shoulders don't bruise.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You bitch.
Let's try it out. We'll I get will. The KSG out and see what happens.
I got no problem with your KSG. How about mine? What's wrong with mine?
I don't know. Let's shoot it.
We'll shoot both. All
right.
At each other?
Wow. That escalated quickly.
Armor plates, bro. We got to find out. Just don't shoot me in the face.
But at the very least, it would be very shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, you have... If when you got your adrenaline pumped up and you feel that impact of something, you're not thinking about the armor that you got on your chest. You're probably going to think that you just got shot.
Right.
And you might just be surprised that you don't see any blood yet.
Yeah.
I would assume it would still make you run.
Well, I'm thinking wind. You know, you get a soccer ball to the gut and you're kind of...
Yeah.
You know, and that's just a soccer ball. We're talking about some projectiles here. Something serious, so... Yep. I don't know, man. I just want to know. That's all. And I'm sure the information's out there. Foot pounds, muzzle energy,
yeah.
You know, knockdown power. I'm sure it's all out there, but I just haven't done the research because I'm lazy.
Yeah. And that's the other thing with the shotgun, too. I mean, if someone's wearing body armor, you might hit two rounds in the body armor and then catch their arm, too, you know?
Yeah.
Because even though that spread is only going to be however much it is, an inch, 3 inches, whatever it is, it's still a little bit more than just throwing one projectile down range. You still have the possibility of hitting more than just the body armor if they do happen to be smart enough to wear body armor.
Well,
that would be impressive.
Again, this goes back to my point where most of the time when we're talking about gun rights, we're talking about home invasions and the right to self-protection. And it's easy for people to say, no. That's why the police are there. Now, that's got its own set of issues that have been gone over again and again. But my main point is that I think the citizenship should be armed. We as citizens should be allowed to bear arms to protect ourselves against our government turning tyrannical, or worse, an invading force.
Yeah.
I mean, Canada, they're right up there. We don't know what they're doing because we ignore the shit out of them. What if they decide to come south? Yeah. I mean, we got nicer weather here. Nobody's denying that. They want what we've got. All they got to do is come down those falls in one of their barrels... with a couple of shotguns, and now we're having a gunfight.
Yeah, but they would just ask politely, eh?
Hey, can we have your land, eh?
And we would just cock the shotgun and say, hell fucking no.
No. We don't like your socialist system, so what if y'all have health care? We've been paying for ours, we earned it, we worked for it. We're America.
We like our warm weather and shotguns. Get the fuck off our land.
Do you even know how to build a truck? Yeah, I think that's something we really, because we've never been invaded. You know, we've had a couple of incidents, but we've never had an invasion on American soil.
Probably for that reason, because everybody knows we got guns.
It's a big part of it. The other part of it's the fact that we've got the Atlantic on one side and the Pacific on the other. So, you know, with satellites and everything else, we're going to see you coming. And the odds that you actually get here with an invading force, slim to none.
The biggest issue that we have to worry about is, like, nukes. Because some pussy might turn a key and set off a nuke.
Alright, first of all, you be careful how you speak about the leader of North Korea, okay? He's listening to everything we say. And secondly, we don't have to worry about that, because we have lasers in the sky that shoot down nukes and put them into the ocean. I'm telling you right now. You think it's not real, but I ask you this. Can you cut metal with a laser?
Yeah, but it's under some very...
specific conditions?
Circumstances.
Okay, alright, yeah. But that's technology that you're allowed to use. That you're allowed to use.
Right.
Are you allowed to have a nuke? Do you think you're allowed to have the best laser?
Alright, but here's the other issue with that. Sure, maybe we tested it out, but how fast was the rocket moving that we shot with a laser?
Faster than the speed of light? I doubt it.
Yeah.
Einstein says nope.
But we don't know what these nukes are exactly that Kim Jong-un has, and we don't know exactly how they work. And the laser, I'm sure, works off of some automated sensor that probably reads for a heat signature.
Could be.
Or something like that. Yeah. That's probably the easiest way for it to work. And all it needs is to be off a little bit, and it won't hit what it needs to hit.
Trust me, I feel you, dude. And if there's anything I'm worried about, it's either a nuclear-scale bomb or toxins. You know, like biological warfare.
Yeah, or an asteroid strike.
Well, that I got nothing for. There's nothing. I could tell you this right now. If you want to screw America over... you come over, you get yourself sick. Quit it with the suicide bombings. Get yourself sick with something that's really contagious. Really contagious, and sneak onto a plane.
Like the bird flu.
in luggage or something.
Yeah.
And fly into New York City. Fly into Los Angeles.
Yeah.
How long before that shit spreads right across the continent?
Especially with all us fucking workaholics getting sick and still coming to work. That's one of those things that bugs the hell out of me. People, yeah, I'm sick. I've been sick for a week. What, you want to take a day off? You got a cough? Oh, you pussy. Like, that's not okay. You should definitely be taking days off when you're sick so that you don't spread it to everybody that works there.
Yeah. Yep, and we should have better protection for that where you can actually get paid.
Yeah.
You know, and you're taking a day off to protect the people around you. It's not about being a pussy.
It shouldn't be a detriment, especially because if you're sick, I've had this before where I can feel a cold coming on and I just take like 2 days off. Like either it happened to be a weekend that I started feeling sick or I just took 2 days off of work. And I'll get better so much faster if I actually rest, like literally rest, eat what I need to eat and rest.
Yep.
Don't do anything. You're not shopping. You're not running around doing stuff, wasting energy. You're like sleeping, watching the TV, doing nothing.
Yeah.
You will recover so much faster from a cold, and people just push through it because they think they need to.
Well, it's not okay. The American mentality, and in some ways it's benefited us, but in that sense, what you're saying is, give me the day off or the 2 days off because I'm going to be more productive when I come back on day three.
Right.
Than if you make me work for 5 days straight where I'm at 40%.
Yeah.
You know, let me get back to 100. Just let me do it and don't make it so that I can't afford it. You know,
right.
Everything's expensive right now. Everything costs money. We need to figure out a way to get paid. That's all there is to it. Nobody can afford a day off right now.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I sprained my ankle a couple of years ago and I still had to go to work. I didn't really have any vacation time. I think I had a couple days. But I tried to work through it. And the job that I was at, I was on my feet all day on concrete. And I just tried to keep on going, but my ankle was not getting better. It just wouldn't heal on its own. I thought it would, but it didn't. And finally, it was a Wednesday, and I went up to my boss and I said, hey, you know, it's been over a week now. I can't get my ankle to get better. He saw me limping, you know, for the last week. And I said, you know, I need to take Thursday and Friday off, and then I'll have 4 days off because I'll have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on Monday I'll be better. And he got mad. He got real upset with me for taking those days off. And I was like, really, man? You've seen me walking around limping. I mean, I can barely do my job. They were at least helping me find stuff that was easy to do, but I was still on my feet for, those were 12-hour days at the job that I was working then. And being on your feet for 12 hours when your ankle is sprained is just not going to allow it to recover.
Yeah, I'm not willing to do permanent damage to my body that I don't have to do.
Right.
And especially not for a job.
Yeah.
You need to think about the fact that I'm a person, not a robot. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not leaking oil here. You can't just fill me back up at the end of my shift. I need time to heal, and to heal right.
Yeah. Yeah, because a sprained ankle or, you know, anything like that, it can get bad really fast.
Yep.
You have to let your body recover. That's what it was designed to do. We just try to push through, you know. It's easy enough mentally to push through, but it's not good for your body to do it. You know, just because your mind can handle the pain doesn't mean that your body is handling it.
That's right. Yeah, pain's a funny thing because there's a lot of people who enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, a lot of times that masochism comes from a place of depression. You'd rather feel pain than nothing at all. I hear that so much. And I heard it a lot in high school, probably because of the circles I was traveling in. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
But, you know, without a doubt, it's something that makes me scratch my head. Because you hear about these shootings that do go on. How many of those people just wanted to feel something? They've been feeling nothing, and they just want to feel something.
And they were all hyped up on drugs that reportedly make you not feel anything in particular. They
right.
increase symptoms of suicide.
Antipsychotics, right. Anti-anxiety medications, and And something we need to look at is this school system. If you actually trace it back, and now I'm kind of talking out my ass here because I don't remember exactly where this information came from, but I'm pretty sure it's accurate. If you trace back the inception of our school system, it's basically designed to train us for factory work. It's designed to train us about manufacturing, and it goes back to that Industrial Revolution we had. So that's what the whole thing's set up with. You got the principal at the top and the teachers, then the students, and the way you do assignments and the way that you transfer your work from here to there. You walk through the halls, and I might be getting in over my head, but if you look at it, it's kind of laid out the way a factory's laid out, and it's meant to build worker bees, which is great if that's what you want to do with your life. You get that practice in early, and you learn how to do it right, and it becomes simple. And you get good at it. But if you want to do something else, if you're a different type of person, that is hell. Going to that school is living hell. And for me, and a lot of the people I knew growing up, going to school was terrible. It was just terrible. And not because the teachers were mean, not because we were getting bullied, because it just didn't make sense. And that's all we would talk about, is why are we doing this? It does not make sense to me.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself will cause depression. Then you get medicated because your doctor's like, we could fix that. We could turn you into a worker bee. Take this shit. You'll forget caring about anything. And then you don't care about human life.
While you're a teenager and you got all your hormones going askew, and you know, you're probably a little bit depressed anyway, just because you're feeling like an adult, but you're not an adult, and you're trying to figure shit out, and it's all very confusing.
Yeah.
The more you learn, the less you know. You know,
you got more lead than pencil.
Right. And then someone says, hey, here's a pill. Go ahead and take it. And you go, fuck, I'm going to take it. And then it's just all downhill from there. This is supposed to be helping me. It's not helping you.
Yep.
I need more. Give me another pill. Well, we got that too. You know?
Yeah.
We got as many pills as you want.
Oh, I had a friend whose name I will redact, but he was a really good kid in high school. Very super focused on computers. Nice to talk to. Ended up getting into OxyContin. He was hanging out with a drug dealer, and these pills were just available, no charge. He could eat it left and right, and that's basically a prescription form of heroin. It's an opiate. It's a little slower acting, very similar. And he got addicted, got into a couple car accidents, and his family figured it out. And now we're talking, he's in his, you know, he's 22 at this point, 23, and they put him into a clinic. So he comes out on Suboxone, which is more of the same. It's a chemically altered opiate. It's an opioid. I don't know everything about it, but he comes over to my house to hang out with me, and he's like, yeah, man, I'm off the dope. I'm like, dude, great. I can hang out with you again, because I will not hang out with those people. I've been through it. I don't want to be a part of your dope life. Within 10 minutes of showing up, he's pulling out these strips that he's like eating or whatever, and he's getting high. I mean, I could see it in his face. That opiate look comes over him. And he starts talking to me about how, oh, yeah, man, I'm off the drugs now. They got me on this Suboxone. They're about to start weaning me off of it. But I went to my doctor, and I told him, you know, it's a matter of anxiety, man. And I'm just trying to tell him that he needs to put me on anti-anxiety meds. I need some Valium or something like that. And then I'll be done with this stuff. I need something to chill me out. Because I get really anxious about stuff when I don't have my drugs. And I'm sorry, but from that day forward, I wasn't talking to him anymore. Because you're stuck in a trap. And it's not that I don't like the kid, it's that I don't have time for that. I don't have time to help you, and you're not looking for help. You're looking for medication. Medication's not going to fix anything unless you got an infection.
Yep.
You know? You're getting surgery? Get doped up so you fall asleep. You're out of surgery? Maybe you need a couple days just to make it easy. I can understand that. But it can't be a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. Pharmaceuticals they want to hook you for life, because then they make money off you for life. You know? They farm you. They farm people.
Pharma.
Yeah. That's how it works. It's not like, you know, some people get knee surgery and they take Vicodin for 2 weeks until their knee heals up, and that's one thing. You know, if you don't want to feel the pain, if you need to sleep and you can't sleep with all that pain, you take a little bit of Vicodin when you need it. But then there's people that just stay on pills all their life.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They just run on them.
There's people going to two or three different doctors and having their prescriptions sent to two or three different pharmacies and getting triple their dose on these opiates legally. Well, it's not truly legal, but they're using their money at the counter to buy these prescriptions. I mean, it's crazy. The way the system's designed, it almost seems like somebody's allowing that.
Yeah. Well, they are allowing it because they're making money off of it.
Right. And that's, you know, you get to this this marijuana activism, and that's one of the big arguments they're saying is the only reason this stuff's still illegal, when you look at it face value, alcohol versus marijuana versus prescription pills, the only thing out of the three of those that's illegal is the marijuana. It's never killed anybody, and it's doing almost no harm. I mean, if you're smoking it, maybe there's some harm in that, but we can still buy cigarettes. It's a personal choice.
Yep.
Let me have it. But there's no money to be made off of it because it's a hardy, simple plant. And I can go grab seeds from somebody who's already got them, or a clone from somebody who's already got a plant, throw it in the ground and walk away, and it's going to grow.
Yep.
It won't be great, but it'll do the trick.
Yep.
And that's why it's illegal.
Look at California, where they legalized it recreationally, and it made more money in the first year that it was legalized. It made more money in taxes than alcohol.
Yeah.
And that's just people saying, fuck, I'd rather smoke pot than drink.
Right.
You know, it makes you feel less shitty the next day. It gives you a little bit of a euphoric feeling. I mean, marijuana does a lot of little things for you that pharmaceuticals can't even touch. And then pharmaceuticals have side effects on top of that. All you get, if you smoke a whole bunch of marijuana, you feel a little run down the next day.
Yeah.
You're not quite yourself.
Yep.
Give it a day. You'll be okay again.
Yep.
That's it.
And learn your lesson.
Yeah. When you take pharmaceuticals or when you start drinking regularly, it's like it you feel like you need it the next day.
Yeah.
And it sucks you right in.
Yep. Yeah, I don't hear too many stories about people getting addicted to pot the way that they get addicted to other stuff. You know, I do have one friend, but I'm not exactly sure everything was working straight there. You know, great, great guy. I love him to death, but he'd go without marijuana, he'd start getting a little nauseous. He would actually vomit. I mean,
that's there was something anxiety issue.
There was something happening there on a different level. Yeah. But if you look at it from the other perspective, he was always a self-sufficient person. He never needed help from anybody to get done what he needed to get done to live. And he'd be high the whole time. Never hurt anybody. I don't think he ever got in any car accidents except of his own. You know, he crashed into a telephone pole once, but we allow everybody a learning curve, right, when it comes to driving.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at it, and the people I've seen who are most destructive are the people who are drinking heavy.
Yeah.
Or who are stuck on these pills, and they're so broke that they're willing to do anything. Meth, it's the same kind of thing. And I can understand why we might make that illegal. We don't want people smoking meth. I honestly don't want people drinking and driving. But I'll tell you the truth. I'm not afraid of somebody taking a couple hits and getting in their car and going for a cruise.
Yeah, because they're only going to go 5 under the speed limit.
Yeah.
When you're drinking alcohol, you don't even realize what the speed limit is. You just start driving.
That was me tonight. I mean, the whole ride home, I was blasted, faced. And I was just going around the curves at like 90. No big deal on the Jetta. That's a joke. The Jetta will not go 90.
It won't even do it. I can account for that.
Wow, man, we covered a lot just now, didn't we?
Yeah.
We hit the spectrum.
Did pretty good.
At limit everything, even conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it. Getting a little smoother with it.
I feel that was pretty good. The alcohol probably did lubricate it a little. Wonder what some marijuanas would have done.
Yeah.
Too bad we get drug tested by some corporation somewhere.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
All that is motivation to find another form of income.
Yep. Yeah, I intend to make income through prostitution, so if there's any attractive women out there willing to pay for my penis, please let me know.
Sight unseen.
I'll post some pictures. Oh, my face. My face. The cock's a mystery. You won't know about the birthmark until you see it.
About the small dick.
Oh, it's tiny, but I know how to use it. You know, guys with big dicks never figure it out because it just works. Me, I had to practice. Calling it?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
That wasn't bad.
50